Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Even though we're still celebrating the Easter season, our gospel text takes place on the night when Jesus was betrayed. And it's a continuation of the same discussion that we heard last week, that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. In last week's sermon, Jesus began this is Jesus' last sermon that he would preach to his disciples before he would be stripped and whipped and nailed to the cross. He knew that in less than 24 hours, he would be dead and buried in the grave. So what do you do when you're about to die? You don't mince words. You say those things of utmost importance. And this is what Jesus did in his farewell discourse. Last week, we heard Jesus say, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Abiding is important. When you abide in Jesus, you don't leave, you remain in him and continue in him. You fix your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus and trust in him alone for your salvation. And this theme continues in our text this morning of abiding, but not only abiding in him, but abiding in his love. Now in America, the word love means many different things to many of us. What comes to your mind when you think of love? For me, I usually think of how much I love pizza, donuts, and ice cream. But maybe you think about a couple holding hands, strolling along a quiet beach. Or maybe it's that fuzzy feeling you get inside when you get near the one you love. Well, Scripture uses three different words to describe love. One is for brotherly love. One is for romantic love. And in our text, Jesus used the third term. It describes a continual self-giving love, self-sacrificing love for others. And he begins, in our text today, he begins with a command to remain in his love. And he ends with another command to love one another. His time is short. He's speaking with a sense of urgency, and these things are of utmost importance. He's commanding his disciples and disciples of all times and ages to abide in his love and understand that he has chosen you to bear fruit. There's another word in our text that jumps out. It's the word commandment. The word love inspires all kinds of wonderful images. But when you hear the word commandment, it's not inspiring, it's disheartening and arduous. God's commands are law, and not only just the Ten Commandments, but everything that Jesus taught his disciples. So our sinful nature takes offense to commandments because we want to be in charge. We want to be in control. We want to be our own God. You can ask all parents, not even a two-year-old wants to be told what to do. And as we progress into adulthood, we figure we've paid our dues. We've done the work. We deserve to make our own decisions and do as we darn well please. But Jesus gives us a command. He commands us to love, not once, but love others twice. He's illustrating how important that love truly is. So how is this command working out for you? We like to laugh about loving our kids and extended family, saying, well, I may not like them, but I still love them. Well, that is true to a degree, because while Jesus loves mankind, he still doesn't like sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. Now, in full disclosure, our text this morning isn't necessarily speaking about loving your enemies. Jesus covers that explicitly in other sections of Scripture. But in the context of our text this morning, he's talking specifically about friends, Christian friends, loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is the vine. Christians are the branches. And he's stressing the necessity of mutual love amongst all Christians. Because if Christians can't love one another, how will they ever love their enemies? The very fact that he stresses it so urgently here, right before his death, is an indicator that he already knows what a danger it is to Christians when they do not love their brothers and sisters. Let's face it, we all have a sinful flesh. You've witnessed divisions in congregations and splits in congregations and brothers and sisters in Christ who will no longer speak to one another. It's a tragedy. It's perilous. When you don't love your fellow Christians, it undermines the whole gospel message that Christ has sent the church to proclaim. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, but Pastor, you don't understand. That person is not lovable. And if that's what you're thinking, well, that's fair. Maybe some people are not lovable. But I would suggest to you that it's not only a fair statement, it's a correct statement. Except the unlovable person is you and me when we live apart from the love of Christ. God despises sin. The psalmist writes, "You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers." God hates sin. But on the other side, God is love. God, all love flows from God. And it's that kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross. You see, Jesus' love for you is an objective fact. He demonstrated his love on Calvary's cross by shedding his blood and giving up his life to save you of your sins. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now remember the context of our reading. It's the upper room, the night Jesus is betrayed. Judas is just about to go out the door to go get the Sanhedrin. The disciples, all the rest of the disciples, are going to be abandoning Jesus by the next day. He's about to be put to death, but in his great love for those disciples and for you, he still trusts his Father in heaven. He even prayed to the Father to forgive those who were crucifying him because they know not what they did. Jesus describes a threefold relationship of Christian love. The love begins with the love that the Father has for the Son and that the Father has for you. And this love has been there since before the foundation of the world. Make no mistake, that love was there thousands of years ago. You neither sought out Jesus nor made a decision for him. Christ decided for you and gave his life for you. Hear his words from our text. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. God foresaw your wretched, sinful state, and in his incomprehensible love, he sent his greatest treasure, his crown jewel, Christ Jesus, sent him into this broken world on a mission to save you and me and every other unlovable sinner. And in his love for the Father and for you, Jesus obeyed the Father's will. Even though he was God, he humbled himself, taking your sins and the sins of the whole world, going to the cross, suffering and dying, so that all mankind could be reconciled back to the Father. Remember, God does not dwell with the evil, but Jesus has reconciled that chasm, so that all who are in Christ Jesus may be in the presence of the Father. Although this is not on account of your own worthiness, it's all for the sake of Jesus that you are made precious and acceptable in the sight of God. As the Father loved the Son, so the Son loves his disciples of all ages and all time. And he invites you to love others as he loves you. All who abide in faith abide in his love, because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. You know that the love the Father has for the Son and that the Son has for the Father, and the true love that they have for you. So today, as a child of God, by faith in Jesus, you are now able to love others and know the joy of loving them as Christ has loved you. You are now able to bear fruits of repentance and service and love of others, even those you find undesirable, because Jesus died for them too. God chose you, and he grafted you into the vine in the waters of baptism, giving you the Holy Spirit and forgiving all your sins. In Christ Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, God's commandments are no longer burdensome. The Spirit strengthens you to keep God's commandments and to love others just as Christ has loved you. Will you do it perfectly? No. So repent. Remember your baptism and that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Hear the proclamation of the gospel. Receive Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you. All of these working together for forgiveness and the strengthening of your faith. All love flows from God. And by his grace, you can now love one another as Christ has loved you. But it's not a love that you can do on your own. It's a love that you do based upon what God has already done for you through Christ Jesus. His ever-present, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.